Welcome to the Note to Scene podcast. I'm Matt Crane.
I'm Tyler Sharp.
And every week we chronicle the biggest news stories in the music scene. Find more episodes of this show on Apple Podcasts, where you should please rate and review us. Email us at notetoscene@gmail.com. Big news this week from Sleeping with Sirens. But first, we're going to talk about 21 Pilots and their new album, Trench. It's here. Let's go. So, Maroon 5 playing the Super Bowl, where are you at here with this? Are you in? Are you out?
I mean, like, I'm in just because of She Will Be Loved, which probably won't even be played, but bangers are bangers. It makes sense, right? Safe option. Common denominator band. And they're still relevant now. They just had the hit with Cardi.
They're just like Hawaiian shirt core. You know what I mean? Like, it's come on. Like
Hawaiian shirt core. Added to the list of made-up genres.
If they get Cardi out, I mean, that makes sense, you know?
I feel like that's a given.
Well, I heard there's some contractual bullshit going back and forth. Like Cardi wants her own set if she's going to perform. God. Yeah, she doesn't want a song. But I don't know, man. I saw, like, you know, people, there was the floater out there about the Foo Fighters. I think that would be cool. A Foo Fighters halftime show? Like, I would be in on that. I feel like
it was just Dave saying that they've been approached, but in the past.
I think that would work, though. Like, everybody knows Dave. Everybody knows, like, a few Foo Fighters songs. Dude, he's just up there screaming the best of you. Everyone's going to be into it, you know?
I feel like it would have worked even, like, just 5 years ago. Yeah. But, I mean, it could still work now, whatever. I just don't feel like kids would be
hyped. If you
want
to get a rock band, I just think you should do that. Not Maroon 5, who are just, like, so, they're just so, they've crossed into that weird dimension of nothingness band. You know, it's just Adam Levine featuring Girl of the Month, you know?
Adam the Chameleon Levine.
Did you see Hayley Williams doing ASMR?
So, all right, I saw the video. I didn't have any time or motivation to look up what ASMR is.
Okay, so ASMR, not to be cool hipster here, but I've been into ASMR for like 4 years.
Watch out, guys.
Like,
we got
you
a
ever,
badass
like,
here.
You ever have like, it's something you either totally get or you don't. It's like people like the sound of whispering and light touching gives you this sort of like tingling sensation that's super relaxing. Are you ever familiar with that? Like if you're half asleep and somebody's next to you whispering, it's like super. People who experience ASMR, which I forget what it stands for, experience like this. It's like a weird tingling sensation that will relax you.
Like,
and put you
like
to
when
sleep.
You chew 5 gum.
No. No, not at all. That's the opposite.
That's the opposite.
You probably fall into the category of people who just have never experienced. It's just one of those things.
I feel like that would be the most irritating thing of all time.
Yeah. So it's two camps. So yeah. So okay. But Hayley did it, which is interesting. To promote her hair dye product. But the ASMR community, it's like this big YouTube community of all these ASM artist girls who are like really good at it, and they get millions of views. So it was just interesting to see Hayley dip into that. I got a question though, real quick. Did you stand Atlantic on Hopeless? Is that something we need to worry about?
Is that something like, we need to worry about?
I don't know. Like I saw it and I was like, you know.
Listen,
Hopeless.
I've been hearing the name a lot. To be completely honest, I have not listened yet, so I have no idea. But there's buzz. So my first reaction, the first time I heard the name, was like, how many band names are going to have Atlantic in them?
That's a kiss of death for your band's kids.
I mean,
no Atlantic band ever went that far, and you're not going to be the one. I'm sorry.
I mean, it might. I don't know. I can't tell you for sure, but I hear the momentum, the verbal momentum of that band.
I've seen press maybe releases and label promotion, and that's it. So I just don't know. I was asking, you know. But you've heard some momentum. You've heard some buzz. Okay.
I've heard verbal momentum.
Too much. Too
much time already spent on them. We'll circle back.
Right, before we get into listener questions, I just had to. I had to ask you real quick. Pele Royale, man, came through with some big sales this week.
We were wrong. I'm pissed, and I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, no, Tyler and Matt will officially be taking Pele Royale seriously because
from here on out.
We don't like them, that band, but they came out with the sales when they sold what, 7,000 copies first week?
7,900.
Yeah, on a B-side thing, and they're a UK band, which it's really hard to sell over here when you're a UK band. So it's just like they really prove that they're going to be a big fucking thing on the next record. So we're ready to deal with it. We're going to, you know, Tyler and I will talk through it. We'll do what we do. I know there was a lot of panic news, and that's going to be next week. We're pushing that all in next week. So that'll be the lead story for next week's episode. But Tyler Sharp, if you are ready, let's dive into listener questions.
Let's do it.
All right. Our first question comes from longtime listener Aaron L. Aaron writes in to notescene@gmail.com. Against the current, not really for me, but man, did this band take any momentum Paris had and squashed it. If Fueled by Ramen really wants a good radio push, they have about 9 songs in this release that I can hear on radio. What did your pop ears think about it? Like, this band, man, first off, it's over.
Time it's so over. This new album by Against the Current, Past Life, released on Fueled by Ramen, sold 1,700 copies first week.
Was it 1,400?
No, sure? 700. I'm okay. Looking at it right now.
Okay. Wow. I mean, so...
Wow.
You might as well not even be a band. You know, the Gravity EP, I thought it was phenomenal. To me, it was like next Paramore good level. Like, I was so in on this band when the Gravity EP came out. And I see why I feel FBR picked them up after that EP. But that was 2015. And nothing has happened since then, you know?
Literally nothing.
And that's the thing. This record is decent. Like, there's some sauce on it, you know? Like, there's, like, surprising moments. I wasn't blown away or anything, but, like, there's some sauce on this record. And the rollout was just, you know, so botched. So I don't see it hitting radio at all, Aaron. It's not bad.
They had a single that I can't even remember what it was, but I really...
On the glass
yeah, box. That was it. And I really liked it. It was at the beginning of last summer, was it? Like, already? It's already been... Dude, I don't even know. But I know that this thing got delayed, and it was supposed to be out, like, last fall, yeah. And there were already print reviews for the album out. And I think they scrapped some of it, like redid it, like delayed it 8 months. And it was like mania on steroids almost.
Yeah, it just terrible. And if you're going to sell 1,000 copies on a major label, it's, you know, they're going to be a YouTube, just stick to, they're going to be a YouTube cover band.
Just
like they always
do
have been. And
Our Last people, Night up, man.
People want to see them do cover bands shit. And, you know, guys want to stare at gorgeous Chrissy and all those music videos. So that's going to keep working for them, you know, but they're not going to sell records. And yep. This record's going nowhere. Next question. Alex N. writes into notescene@gmail.com. I love this question, by the way. He says, hey, guys, I don't know if you've heard about Elon Musk wanting to send artists to space to create art inspired by it. Even though it would never happen, what band from the scene would you want to see sent around the moon? Either because they'd be the best face for the scene or because they'd make the best moon music. So a little background here, if you're not following Elon Musk, the founder of SpaceX and Tesla. He is doing the first commercial flight to space. He's flying a Chinese billionaire around the moon and back. And this Chinese billionaire wants to take like 5 or 6 artists with him into space for inspiration. Like that's who he's taking as his passengers with him, because he's paid, I think, like $100 million for this flight. So if he decided he wanted to take some scene bands, I guess Tyler and I are going to pick him out here. So... I have 2 picks. My first pick would be, okay, so if I don't have a time machine, I'm going to pick from first to last, because not that I think they'd be so inspired from space, but I think once you got Sunny in them and they made that trip around the moon and back, there'd be like no more excuses to not make it happen anymore, right? Like, that's too much pressure for Sunny. He'd be like, all right, I went to the moon for this. I came back to Earth. I got to do it now. Do you agree? Don't you feel like it'd be too much pressure?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
My second choice, if I had a time machine, I would go back to 2015 and I would send Paris up into space. Ooh. And hope they found that magic inspiration and didn't fuck their band the way they did. How about you, Tisha?
That's a good one. I got more of a lame excuse, a lame response. My first one would definitely be Under Oath, pre-comeback album.
Trying to fucking put the jumper current, cables on
you
the
know,
band.
Either pre-comeback album or current. I would take either, but probably pre.
I'd take whatever I could get for them.
I'd take pre-comeback album in hopes that they would deliver something a little more. Little more bombastic and generate some more momentum behind the band. The other one, just because I think they deserve it and they're wonderful people that make great music, Architects.
Oh yeah, I can. You know, I think that they would take advantage of it. I can see Sam Carter on the moon, like
right,
screaming, you know, in the music video,
right, dude. Like you could just picture that band. There's so much like gravitas with their sound, yeah. And peep that new record, boys. Like those singles are fire.
All right. We thank Aaron and Alex for writing in to notetoscene@gmail.com. If you guys have any questions for the show, feel free to send them in, and Tyler and I will talk about them. But, T-Sharp, we got to do this thing.
Here we go.
Main story this week, 21 Pilots' new album, Trench, is finally out. The follow-up to their smash, Blurry Face. Let's start with the record, man. Lay it on me. What do you think of 21 Pilots' Trench?
I have a lot of thoughts on Trench, and I wasn't really expecting to, but there is a lot to unpack with this record. They botched the rollout as worse as they possibly could. Jumpsuit was the absolute worst single they could have chosen to lead this record.
And if you're questioning that, go back and listen to the Note to Scene episode where Jumpsuit dropped, and Tyler and I instantly are having fears from the first moment we heard the riff of Jumpsuit. You can go back and listen to that. You can hear that fear in real time.
Absolutely. We knew it. Like, when we heard it, we're like, this is not the move. Like, this is not it. They should have led with Morph. Morph is... from what I've seen, has been the fan favorite since the record dropped. It was the last song to last on the Spotify US Top 50 charts as far as daily streams go. I think it's fallen off at this point. But that song kind of encompasses old school 21 Pilots. It has no real like rockist vibes to it. It's very laid back and it's almost Blurry Face, but it has good progression to it, I think. And then the chorus is almost like, I get like Childish Gambino vibes from it, almost, as far as sonics go, and like Tyler's crazy falsetto in it. And
a little bit of soul.
Right. Yeah. And I think that would, if they would have dropped that as a lead single, it would have gotten way more momentum than Jumpsuit did. And, you know, they wouldn't even have had to fuck around with rock radio. They could have went straight to alt, straight to top 40, see what happened. I don't know if it would have been a top 40 hit, but I feel like they could have tried and would have had more success right out of the gates. But I don't think My Blood is going to burn well for them. I don't like that song. I don't think that the chorus comes in strong enough. It feels very lackluster. But where they hit their stride is really the meat of the record. Chlorine, Smithereens, Neon Gravestones, and The Hype. Those four songs really feel like solid 21 Pilots songs. And Neon Gravestones is a massive vibe, you know, like not commenting on the lyrical content, because there's a whole lot to unpack with that, but it's like a very dark pop kind of, you know, it's not Heathens, it's in the same vein as Heathens, but it's very it serves a different purpose, right? Like it is a very good filler song. It could never survive as a single, but that's my favorite song from the record. The Hype is very old school 21 Pilots, and I feel like the hook is great in it. Nico, I still find that song incredibly annoying. The only other song on the record that I like as a potential single, I don't know if it will be, is Pet Cheetah. I feel like that's going to end up being a deep cut, but it's got like almost like a club vibe at some points. Like it comes in hot. Leave the City is an interesting track too. The outro on the record. I like the last half of it. I think it's a pretty fitting end to the Trench era we have here. But other than that, man, this is this is This is not good. Anyone who's looking from an objective viewpoint and knows the history of 21 Pilots sound and where they've come up, and they listen to this album front to back, they have to know that this is not going to be good for them long term. Like, they just have to know. So I am at a 6.3 out of 10 on Change.
Ooh, you know, man, it's regression. And
it really
I found this record so underwhelming. I'm not with you on Morph, man. I find it a little stale and flat at places. I know it was doing well, but it was the top song on the album. You know what I mean? It was the first new song that everyone got to hear, so it had that advantage.
Mm-hmm.
That streaming advantage, just mm-hmm. being the first song, which
right.
usually gets the most streams. I think Chlorine is okay, but like song, you know, Smithereens, Neon Gravestones, The Hype, Cut My Lip. I didn't think they were bad songs. I just found them kind of mediocre, and everything was kind of really blurring together for me on this record. Everything, it was like just starting to feel so homogenized now to me. And like when I first heard Blurry Face, I was still working at AP. And we got an early advance of the record.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember hearing Blurry Face, and I was like, holy shit, like, there are so many hits on this record. Like, I just, as soon as I heard it, I'm like, these are all hits. Like, I'm like, what are they going to choose as the singles? And they ended up going with all of them. You know what I mean? And they had the most
right.
dominating run we've seen of a rock band this decade, you know? Because that record just had so many singles. And that's not the case here. There's just nothing special. There's nothing... That spark is not there one way or the other with the band. They're just kind of in the middle. And it's like, to me, the record sounds like either they like lazily like phoned it in, you know,
right.
they just kind of didn't care, or something happened to the point where this band have lost their chemistry and that special spark. And I pray it's not the latter of those two things. Like, nothing was even remotely like emotionally moving to me. Like Vessel. Like, I think back to a song like Holding On To You, you know?
For sure.
None of that raw intensity was there for me on this record. Tyler is so distant and echoing throughout the whole record.
Yeah.
You know? I'm with you. Pet Cheetah is interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I like it. It's different, you know? It's definitely a different track. It's a standout. It works. Legend, that could kind of work for them, maybe as like a hipster chic single,
sort
of like good indie film fodder, you know. I can see it soundtracking, you know, your little girl's growing up story indie film.
It's that kind of.
I come to a 6 out of 10 on the record. I'm right there with you. For me, man, I mean, I'm on the opposite side of you. Jumpsuit, My Blood, Levitate, Nico, those are the best songs to me.
Levitate's fire, but I don't consider that a song.
I know that those weren't the right songs to lead with, you know, at all,
mm-hmm.
but I like them better than the rest of the stuff on the record.
That's interesting.
They led with the best they had, in my opinion.
I don't know about that.
So, sales, man, you know, the projections came in. I know this is tough. So, you and I were talking, and we were over under 300K, right? That was kind of where we're at. We were thinking, because the biggest emo release of all time was Fall Out Boy's Infinity on High, which did 260,000 copies first week. MCR's Black Parade did about 240 mm-hmm. first week. We thought there's no reason 21 Pilots can't totally fucking clear that, right?
Right.
And we were thinking maybe 300K, right? Why can't they crack 300K? But the projections came in, and it was all fucked up, right? What was the first thing we saw? Like, I think the first projection I read said they might do north of 125K. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, what? You know,
that was
and I
was the
like,
first
alarm
one.
Bells.
That was the bar. And we were just like, wait, no. They're going to do north of 200 easy.
Right.
Like, that's easy.
I wasn't even, and I wasn't even thinking under 200. And
It shouldn't even be in like the question. Like, it
right.
shouldn't even be in the conversation.
They were the biggest band in the world. You know what I mean? And so the final projections for sales have come in, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I know it's been updating a lot, but 173,000 copies first week.
Is that the top?
That's the best case scenario. What's worst case scenario for them?
Right, like now it's at 167.
Okay, that's massive disappointment. Like, that is such a disappointment.
So what did Blurry Face do?
Blurry Face did 130 to 150,
okay.
somewhere in that neighborhood.
So this album is going to do 129 to 135,000 pure traditional. Yeah. And Blurryface dropped
in the before pure
they yeah. counted streaming, mm-hmm. right? Okay, right. Yep. So, dude, like Blurryface, the fans didn't show out. Copies.
Yeah,
the
no,
click didn't show out.
You know,
don't
though,
at me. Don't at me.
No, well, you know, the click pre-ordered the shit out of it. And I mean, you know, that's over 100,000 pre-orders. That, you know, that's more than any rapper will do. But nobody's streaming these songs. You know, they're not.
Dude, I thought they were gonna do 200 pure, and just tack on. You know,
I mean, they were on
50,000 to 75,000 with streaming. But you know, they're gonna get like a 40,000 bump from streaming and do, you know, 130 traditional.
This is such an upset. You know what I mean? This is just such a
you and what is what's the biggest nail in the coffin is that they can't even spin it as a number one because Gaga and Bradley Cooper just blew their fucking doors off with the A Star Is Born soundtrack.
Yeah, so the projections came in and A Star Is Born was projected to come in the soundtrack for this Gaga Bradley Cooper movie, which you should all go fucking see because mm-hmm. it's amazing and the soundtrack is dope as fuck. But the soundtrack came out and it's having that total Greatest Showman effect, mm-hmm. and it was projected to do number two, and the projections for that just kept going fucking up and up and up and up until eventually it's coming in hot at number one. It's going to be 21 Pilots, Gaga and Bradley Cooper and cast for that soundtrack.
I'd have to go back, but I think 21 was at one point projected to do 185 top. So
yeah,
they brought
them down and they pushed the Gaga thing up.
Yep.
The Star Is Born is going to crack 200K easily. I think last I saw it was at 215.
It's
and
at
you know it's only going
to
go
215,
up.
Right.
It's and only dude, going up.
21 can't even use the album sales chart to push
Did
a number
one.
Did
you see
one.
Their sad little, like, they took the movie poster and replaced it with, Gaga with Tyler and Josh?
Did you see the Dua Lipa tea when she chimed in on it?
No, I did not.
She favorited a tweet. I don't know where the fuck this came from, but Lady Gaga tweeted in 2012, essentially, I can't remember what it was word for word, but essentially it was like, so tired of shitty people trying to capitalize on like my success or my art and stuff like yeah. that. And Dua favorited that tweet right after 21 Pilots went viral on theirs.
So that tweet did go viral when they did that?
I mean, it did like 20,000 retweets.
It just didn't look so sad to you.
Like, oh, 100%. So, like, you knew exactly what they were trying to fucking do. And I'm like this shouldn't even be a race.
No, that's like a admitting defeat. This was supposed to be your number one, 21 Pilots. Like, this was the easiest number one setup for you.
Right?
And, yeah, I get this Gaga movie phenomenon happens. It's so funny, too, because this A Star Is Born album is going to blow the last Gaga album out of the water.
Oh,
Joanne only did 100K first week. They're like 110.
This is double. Yeah.
And the movie soundtrack now is coming. It's just, I mean, it's fun when that happens, but this should have been a lock for 21. You got to fucking
Absolutely.
Bring your big guns.
Right?
You got to fucking lock this shit in.
And they're not even going to be able to use the album charts to say that they had a number one, like A Day to Remember did with Bad Vibrations, because Gaga's going to outsell them traditional, too. She's going to do 155 to 165. Mm.
Gaga's going to tick up too, probably. You could see 230, 240 maybe, and then it's going to hang around. It's going to have a big second.
Oh, yeah, 21's going to fall right off.
The second weekend might be bigger at the theaters than the first weekend. The way the word's spreading about this thing.
Yep.
We're going to have to talk about it in the show too,
That might be the pop story next week.
Yeah, that's a good pop story. I like that. So it's just, we can't have anything, man. Beartooth come in and bomb with...
They did 10,000!
Okay, and the last
10,000.
One,
the last one did 15.
Restive did 15. You know, against the current sell 1.7. It's like it's all over. We are chronicling the end of the
game. This is the final nail in emo's coffin, man.
And I know we say it a lot, but you know, that's what me and Tyler are here for. We're chronicling the end for you. We're
this
here with you to the end.
This podcast has turned into.
When the last scene, man, you know what I mean? When fucking our last night break up, the last scene, we'll still be here, you know? But, man, it's just, we can't have anything. Even the biggest band.
Our last night. Oh, my God, 21 man.
21 Pilots was like...
They were supposed to be the one. Like, they were going to carry it on to the next generation.
They were the next MCR, they, you know, times 10.
Fuck,
They had
man.
way more pop hits than MCR did. You know what I mean?
Oh,
It's funny, too. I never thought that Blurry Face run of singles, I never thought how similar that was to Panic and Fever. Like, the way Fever dropped and Panic just had all those Fever singles take off, and all of a sudden Panic were one of the biggest bands in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to how 21 Pilots did it with Blurry Face. Very similar sort of runs. And now you're seeing this is going to be their fucking Pretty Odd, you know?
That is, wow. That is,
you know?
That's a hot take right there.
I mean, I think, you know, Jumpsuit did good at Alt Radio. What's the other song they're pushing right now? My Blood. I like My Blood, you know. Homie Bob Lefsetz backs My Blood.
Dude, Bob Lefsetz thinks it's going to be a fucking hit.
I know it's not your thing, Tyler, but it's a really good traditional fitting for alt radio kind of single. Like, it's very Foster the People.
Well, they sent it to top 40.
It's doing well at alt. I mean, it'll probably get to number one. I wouldn't be surprised. But that's where they are. They're going to be an alt radio band. You know, Rolling Stone gave this record a pretty good review because
they fucking did.
You know why? Because they said it's more mature. You know what they mean by that? It's more rock. It's more raucous. You know what I mean?
More
it's
raucous.
More just typical, boring. Oh, so upset, man. Oh, my score?
Rips.
Did I get my score?
No,
my
you
score.
Did not.
6 out of 10.
6 out of 10.
Right there with you. Yeah. Try to, you know, it's just, they're not the biggest band anymore. Imagine Dragons is. Like, who saw that coming, you know?
Dude, there's hype, man. The hype is palpable around that Imagine record, man.
Like, we go back to 2016, and 21 Pilots are the biggest band in the world. And Imagine Dragons are, you know, an alt-rock radio band.
Mm-hmm.
2018, it's flip-flopped. 21 Pilots are an alt-radio band, and Imagine Dragons are the biggest band in the world. And that
right.
next Imagine Dragons record is going to blow 21 Pilots out of the water.
Right.
Sucks. All right, on a positive note, did you see the My Blood video?
I haven't yet. I haven't.
Okay. It's actually really good.
I had a friend text me the morning that it dropped, and she was like, the My Blood video just made me cry.
It's actually really good, and I think it's really iconic. So
okay.
definitely hit that up. I mean,
I
there's
will.
One silver lining to take. Anything else on 21 Pilots, Tyler Sharp?
I don't think so. It depresses me too much, man.
Yeah, we can't win.
Can't have anything, man.
All right, next story. Kellen Quinn has signaled that Sleeping with Sirens are finished with their new album, the follow-up to 2017's Titanic disaster, Gossip. And apparently, we could be in for some let's cheers to this vibe. So,
here we go again.
Okay. here's the thing. One must believe Kellen.
Oh my god.
And this is such a classic band lie, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many bands spin this lie? Oh, dog.
How
we're
many times have they done it? I ran a story for Warped Tour 2016, I believe it was, where Kellen said that they were going to have a throwback set list. A set list for Warped Tour.
But, like, it's a, these songs are sounding real. Tell all your frenzy. You know, it's just such a classic.
God,
classic
it's such
live
a hype
band
move.
Stuff.
Yeah, it's just fuck
My
that
thing,
shit,
though, is
man.
He knows, though. Kellen is really smart, you know? And I think he saw that with Gossip,
well,
obviously.
Fucking
they can't.
Hope so, man.
That's my
I
thing.
Would hope so.
Kellen is a smart dude. And I think he had to see that Gossip didn't work. They're not going to work as a rock radio band. It's never going to happen for them. They don't,
uh-huh.
they don't fit the mold. And I think maybe he's realized they might as well cash in on what nostalgia is left. You know, tour with Pierce the Veil, who probably have something coming in 2019 as well. Just go full nostalgia. I think it's a good move for the band at this point. Just get what's left. You know, it's not going to grow them. It's not, but they're not going to work as a radio rock band. And we saw earlier this year, Jack Fowler, remember he had said he was in the mood for 2012 sounding Sleeping with Sirens stuff, quote. Right after Gossip tanked, he tweeted that.
I bet he fucking did, man, because
so,
he doesn't
want
to be get fucking shelved, man.
This could have been in the works, you know, for a while.
Oh my god, is it coming out on Warner? Are we getting post-hardcore on Warner Brothers?
I mean, I'm down for it, you know.
They're
Kellen's
getting fucking
got that.
Dropped, man. They're getting fucking dropped.
You know, they'll put it out and do 8K first week.
8,000
first
week.
The last one did 11, right?
Oh
like,
my god.
The last one tanked and did 11, right?
Dude, if they drop a Do It Now, Remember Later single, if they drop that fire and they drop pre-orders along with it, I don't know, man. They might be able to bump up to 20.
If
Am
they,
I
you
being
know,
hopeful? I think
they gotta hit the full Death Star trigger and can't hang part two. Like,
just
do it up. You know
fuck,
what I'm saying?
Man.
You know what I'm saying? Just do it.
Do it.
Like, you might
just
as well. That's
do
what,
it.
Because that's really the only move has.
Anyone
left.
Listening from their camp, Matt and I have learned that industry people listen to this shit. Anyone listening from their camp, you need to make that happen. You want to make a little money off that band? Make that happen.
Seriously. I mean, that's all that's left. Mind the nostalgia. You know, these kids are starting to finish college, you know, like the sleeping fans from 2012, they're starting to finish college and they will now be ready to look back on the Cheers to this era.
Yes.
So it is smart to go back to that kind of music, just full dive back into it. If you want this band to matter, I know all Kellen really cares about is being a songwriter now that he has
right.
He's going to write songs for the musicians and take care of his family. And that's cool. And I respect it. And props to Kellen for pulling it off. He's got a good deal with Warner, but if you want to get anything from sleeping, that's the move. Go back to the full nostalgia thing. You know, don't just tease this.
Right.
Do it.
Right.
Bring those vibes. Put that American flag shirt back on. Do another stop.
Dun, dun.
I mean, seriously. Not, you know.
Yep. And if you can't hang, there's the door, baby.
Exactly. If you can't hang, get the fuck out of the music industry, baby.
Be a scene band again. Yeah, that's the only way they can make money now. That's the only way they can make some money.
You got anything else on this T-shirt?
Nope. And I don't want to hear another peep from it until they deliver the tunes.
This is where Tyler enters his "don't say anything"
fucking
until I hear music.
Absolutely
mode.
Not, Tom. Tom, are you listening? Are you listening? I'm glad we haven't heard anything from you recently. The next time we hear from you, it better be some Angels and Airwaves fire.
He's been teasing that for like 4 years, man. Like, is
four
it gonna happen?
Years.
Or?
He actually did drop a teaser like the day I went to Warp Tour this summer.
I'm surprised people still care. It blows my mind that people still care about Angels and Airwaves, but they do.
All we want is I Empire Part 2. It's not that hard. All
right, let's move on to our next story, Tyler. Dude, we got a band beef alert. We got a band beef alert.
Blair the Siren.
Yeah. So Tyler Sharp, official band beef reporter, you know, still get those clicks and those checks.
We out here get that
as
traffic.
A practicing expert.
Yep.
I'm going to need you to walk me through what went down with Austin Carlisle and his former band of Mice and Men.
All right, I'll try to give the TLDR because there's a lot to unpack.
This is what we're here for.
So Austin commented on his Instagram, which he tends to do. He said that he wouldn't join of Mice and Men because he wanted to make different music and that he prefers their earlier material. And he shouted out a song from Restoring Force and I think two songs from the Flood era. And which, I mean, he's basically insinuating that, like, you know, he didn't like Cold War. He said he only wrote like 4 songs off Cold War, and he only, he didn't like the direction that the band was going in. And he's hinting, without saying it, he's hinting that, like, there was more than him not physically being able to continue doing Of Mice and Men because of his, you know, his health and his Marfan syndrome. There was more to him leaving the band than just that. That's what he
was
hinting at.
I thought it was because he wanted to replace Chester in Linkin Park, Tyler.
I mean, you know, we out here with that too. people thought, I mean, he knows what he's doing. He when he was teasing his comeback before he had to go back into the hospital again, he was using all this footage from Chester, and it sent everyone into a whirlwind. I had so many people texting me. Everyone was tweeting about it, and everyone was commenting on Facebook. Is Austin Carlisle joining Linkin Park? So that's not happening. This happens, you know, story. And then Alan Ashby comments, and he says
he's guitarist for Of Mice and Men.
Right. He says, man, this is what he initially said, and then he took it down within like a minute. He says, man, this is hilarious because Austin, I'm not sure if you remember, but I wrote those songs, lyrics included. I never said I'd be coming back for you from Storm. My body's falling. I think I've hit the floor from Depths. Stop taking credit for the shit I wrote. This is not the reason you left. And then he deleted.
I mean, there's the heat.
Dude,
you know?
There is all
that's
tea.
That's a firebomb.
All the tea.
He just dropped a firebomb on Twitter.
And then he deletes it, like, right away, within a minute, right?
Too bad.
And
too late, man. Everybody got the screenshots.
Oh, right? Oh, no, I got him. And then he says simply, I think I'm misunderstanding this, dot, dot, dot. And then he sent a bunch of replies to fans, and one fan was like, I was a little confused by this because when he left, he said it was because of his Marfans and all that. So why is he saying it's musical differences now? Yeah. And Alan said, that's why I confused. I thought my friend left because he couldn't do music anymore due to his condition, not because he just wanted to move on.
And Bottom line, Austin's starting shit. And we knew when Austin departed, it wasn't all love like they played it off. We knew. You know what I mean?
I don't even like talking about the guy, man. I really don't.
We know what he is. I'm not going to say it, but we all know what he is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not dismissing his illness.
No.
I truly feel for him. I have sympathy for that. Austin is so passive aggressive with his little choice Instagram comments replying to fans.
It's so strategic too. He knows.
Yeah, I know, because it looks like he's not trying to blast it out.
Right.
But he knows media outlets are going to pick it up. And in that little comment, there's so much shade. Basically saying to your old band, hey, your new music fucking blows without me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You ain't shit.
And I got to say, just a quick defense, that New of Mice and Men record, while not great, is far superior to Cold World. You know,
absolutely.
And probably even Restoring Force. Like, both those records blow. And it's just, you knew it wasn't all love when Austin departed. And here's Austin again showing his true colors, you know. I've never... I don't want to get...
gotta be careful.
Yeah, I will just say I've never... And I'm not even saying I'm talking about Austin, but there are just certain people in the music industry who I was blown away by how many people had bad things to say about certain people. I'll just leave it at that. How much, sometimes when you see a certain consensus around a person, you're just like, wow. And I'll leave it at that.
Same.
Same. All right. Anything else on the band beef, Tyler Sharp?
No, it ain't nothing. Austin called them. They're okay now.
They're buddy buddies.
It was everyone else's fault.
All right, let's do our pop story, Tyler. And our pop story this week is Lil Wayne is back, and he has finally released the Carter 5.
Weezy
AF is back, and I just want to say. Disclaimer, I am a late period Wayne fan. I love early Wayne fan too, but I also like late period Wayne. So, you know, you might not agree with me. I know it's a controversial time of his career, but that's where I am. Tyler, before we talk about the record, I just kind of want to run through Wayne's career because I think it's pretty important to actually like a lot of what's going on right now in rap music.
Gucci, man. Do the dash.
So, Carter 4 and I'm Not a Human Being, those two records like really soundtracked to my college years. So I just have a lot of attachment to songs like I'm Single right above it, She Will with Drake. Like they were just, they were unavoidable at parties. And it just surrounded my whole college experience, and Wayne was just always there. So I have a certain attachment to this music, and it's so cool to see him having a contemporary resurgence like he is now. And you think about the legacy of the Carter, you know, like these albums. It's just every time I hear that lighter flick for a song, it takes me right back to college, man. And in college, like he was your spirit animal. Like Wayne was like your, when you were partying, he was like your rising phoenix. Like he was that like spirit animal on your shoulder that told you not to take life too seriously. And I'm just flooded with nostalgia when I listen to this record. Because no one lived in the moment like Wayne,
right?
Both in his lifestyle and music, his body of work, you know, there was no concern for musical conventions as he released music. So it's really interesting that Wayne originally like commercially peaked in 1999,
right? Yeah.
He was going platinum, you know, with the Hot Boys, and he was in the shadow of Juvenile. He was on Back That Ass Up, the biggest fucking song ever.
Yep.
Cash Money Records, you know. And after a few records, he wasn't really going that far. And the Carter 2 and the mixtapes of that time sort of really put him back on the map, you know, and all of a sudden he was the hot guest feature that everyone has, that everyone had to have on their albums. And then Lollipop becomes the biggest song in the world, and the Carter 3 sells 1 million copies first week, and Lil Wayne is a superstar. A Millie from that record, you know, becomes probably the most covered rap song ever. Uh-huh. Everyone hopped on that beat. It was so huge.
Yeah.
I remember when Asher Roth did his cover. Like, it was unreasonably big and hyped when Asher Roth did his A Millie cover.
Quick shout out to Framing Hanley on Lollipop.
Absolutely. That was the big cover, big video cover. I don't think they were counting on with Wayne, A, like his star power and as a celebrity, and B, like how likable he would be as a celebrity. You know what I mean? Wayne is so beloved by everyone and everyone's rooting for him.
Yep.
So Carter 4 comes out after that and does 900,000 copies first week. It's super successful, but not quite as critically adored.
Right.
And then Not a Human Being 2 is a mess. It tanks. Mm-hmm. Everyone hates it. Wayne goes to war with his label and ends up in album purgatory, you know, fighting mm-hmm. with Birdman. But during this whole time when his music's not coming out and he's fighting with his label, he's in court, he shows up in a couple of, like, important spots. Like, Chance the Rapper's No Problem, with that infamous line, "Free the Carter, people need the Carter." That right. song, No Problem, is a song about, you know, shooting up a record label's office, you know, that Chance made. It's almost like he made that song for Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne still managed to be in the conversation in some respects. And now we have it, though. He's free from his legal dispute with his label. I think he got a $10 million settlement. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he was able to release the Carter 5. And we have it. Tyler Sharp, what are your thoughts on the Carter 5?
Ooh, there is a lot to unpack in these 23 songs, man. This is a heavy record thematically. Like, there mm-hmm. is so much weight from his mom's, like, voicemail interludes on the intro, and there's an interlude in there in the middle of the record somewhere, and she's on a couple other songs too. As soon as you hear "I Love You, Dwayne," you're just like, oh my goodness. And then she's crying at the end of that voicemail, right? And then the first thing we hear next is "Don't Cry" with X.
Right.
And oh my gosh, man, like the placement of that much emotion just within a couple minutes just kind of sets you off and you're like, holy shit, like this mm-hmm. this is going to matter, man. Like this is going to have some effect in the social conversation. "Don't Cry" is great song. Actually, I'm not too crazy about it. I think it's a solid song. Mm. It's not one that I've come back to a lot, but I know that it's streaming like crazy. Mm-hmm. And just having X on a song,
I mean, anything with X is a guaranteed streamer.
It really is. And just the way that it fits in with the record, like there's a massive emotional punch.
X dropped the Moonlight video recently, and it went to number one trending on YouTube. Just because he's X.
Just
he's
automatically. So yep. And the Lil Peep song is just destroying it on Spotify right now.
Biggest song in the world.
But now he has this one as well, and this one's streaming like crazy. Like, it already has just under 30 million streams
he's
on Spotify.
He's having his biggest moments after his death. It's crazy.
Yep. So after that, we go into...
More coming too, right? The Kanye record.
Yeah, Kanye. Like, I've heard that there's a full record coming. Like, he already had one ready to go for the fall.
You've had a lot of material.
We'll see. But back to the Carter. I mean, after that, we kind of fall into a groove a bit until we get, like, the next four songs. Dedicate, mm-hmm. Uproar, Let It Fly, Can't Be Broken. They're all heavy in their own kind of way, like thematically. Dedicate and Uproar are kind of like your, I wouldn't say, I don't know if there's like just a legit party song on this mm-hmm. record, and that's what makes it so like interesting, mm-hmm. because it's not like you could put some stuff on at a party and it would be mm-hmm. you know it'd fit, but like, this record is something that you, like, think about life to, man.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of existentialism throughout this record. I love Can't Be Broken. I think mm-hmm. that is one of the highlights of the record. I think the hook's really good. I don't know who's singing on it. I'm not sure what the credit is, but the way that their voice is very octaved up, and I think the auto-tune effect on it is great, and that that melody's solid. Dark Side of the Moon, no bars from Nikki, and I like that. Sounds really good. She really serves the song there. Mona Lisa with Kendrick. I mean, this song is, wow, what a journey. And it's kind of like the Kendra effect, right? Like, he turns songs that aren't hits into hits. I don't think this is going to get sent to top 40 radio. I mean, maybe it will. I mean, I would, just to see what would happen. But
I don't think so.
Right, I don't think so.
It's going to be a massive.
This is a
Spotify,
Apple
Music streamer.
Right, this is going to be one of Wayne's like biggest cult songs.
It's probably Mona Lisa's in the lead right now, right, for streams, I would imagine.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's got 38 million. So right under 40 million. But it's a journey, man. It's a journey. And it's straight storytelling. I love it. Like, it just engrosses you. And, like, the flow is solid, so it keeps you intrigued, man. Like, you want to know what the fuck's happening. Moves at a solid pace. I mean, that song's a trip. If you haven't heard it, regardless of whether or not you're into hip-hop, I definitely recommend it. Like, it's a fantastic proposition, and the way they execute it is just top notch. I know that you and I, we've been gone for a minute, and we've talked about the next song, What About Me. I don't really like this song, and I know that you do. I like the idea that it's kind of just like a pop song, but I don't, it's like, it's too slow for me, kind of. Like, it feels a bit lackadaisical, and it doesn't really get to the point. Famous, which has his daughter on it. I love that song. She sounds fantastic on it. It gets arduous, like the listens, like the album starts to wane a little bit, no pun intended.
Nope.
once we get to Problems and then the Snoop Dogg feature and Hitters, but one of my favorite songs on the record comes in at 15 with Took His Time. I just feel like that is a great kind of, it's not a pop song because he does, it's kind of got that Wayne vibe to it, but I think that's a great song that unfortunately I think is going to be a deep cut.
Yeah,
but yeah, and then the album, you know, it kind of wanes a bit through the rest of it. I do like Start This Shit Off Right. It's got Ashanti on it and Mac Maine. I think that's a solid track. And then Perfect Strangers and Used To aren't terrible. Like, they kind of beef it up to the end. But then Let It All Work Out, man. Like, what a perfect Wayne closer, man. Like, I couldn't think of a better vibe for Wayne to come in and go out. You know, like, he's fucking here. Life is good, man. Like, right? That's that whole song. It makes you feel a way. You listen to that song and you can't help but smile. If you know anything about Wayne's situation and what he says in the song and how he, you know, portrays his attitude and his mentality moving forward, like, it's a really cool listen. And the song kind of bops, man. Like, it's low key. But, so yeah, this is a long ass listen. There's a lot of fucking songs.
23 songs?
Oh, yeah, 23. And there is filler. But any album with 23 songs is going to have filler.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, like, my question is, like, is this his fantasy? You know, like, is this his version of Kanye's Dark Twisted Fantasy? Is this kind
whoa.
Of like
is whoa. Is whoa. All right.
He says
we'll have that conversation
hit the
later.
Brakes he says so the, I mean that's where I'm at, like,
that's a big conversation to have. Let's get your score first.
All right, for sure. So given the filler, I feel like there's a lot of, I mean, you do it for the streams, and I'm glad he had such a massive first week, and you know, he did over 500, right?
Let's talk about sales later.
Okay. All right. Well, he had a massive first week. It put him right back up at the top of the conversation when it comes to charts, and it's very cool to see him. So I totally like give him a pass on the ridiculous album length, but, he's got great songs, man. And it doesn't feel like he's just kind of phoning it in. you know, like with these long ass albums, like Scorpion, Drake's album. So it felt like he phoned in like 80% of that shit.
I know. And all I needed was the 20 to make it a hit.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. We're still all talking about it.
What's your score, Tyler?
So I am at a 7.9 out of 10. Ooh.
On the cusp, huh?
It's the filler, man. Like it gets too much. Like we're reviewing albums as wholes, so I can't. Given the dips in quality mm-hmm. that come throughout the record, I couldn't give it the 8.
Okay, so I thought it was interesting leading the album with the X feature.
Mm.
That's an interesting way to lead your Carter, you know, your bedrock establishment record. You're going to lead with the X feature. And I like Don't Cry. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot. I think it's a really good song. Mm-hmm. I think it's funny, too, that, you know, X is on this record because Wayne was so informative of SoundCloud rap in this generation. You know what I mean? These guys don't exist without a song like Lollipop.
Absolutely.
You know, Young Thug, Uzi Vert, X, Peep. None of those guys happened without a song like Lollipop to change the game. So it's just interesting to see everything kind of come full circle in that way and hear X, you know, opening the Carter Five.
I mean, M said it, right? Lil Pump, Lil Xan, imitate Lil Wayne.
So, yeah, totally. So I like that song. Uproar, you know, that's the party jam right there. That song is going to bump in the clubs, man. Uproar, that beat just goes off. Every old school hip hop fan is so stoked on that one too. It's going to be a big club hit. I love What About Me. It's like the emotional chill track. It's very like Young Thug vis-a-vis Lil Wayne in a weird way. I think this is the hit. This is the one they put on today's top hits on Spotify. It's the most obvious best pop song they have on the record, I think. Almost had Post Malone on the bridge, but we lost him.
Right.
I think they could still do it without Post if they push it. I really truly love this song and adore it. When it goes into that chorus, it's just magical. Let It Fly with Travis Scott is like one of the best Astral World tracks. Like okay. Straight up, dude. I love it, man.
Yep.
I love it. It's great.
Solid.
Like you said, Wayne sounds so happy on this record. Can't Be Broken. Great, like, empowerment track.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you just want to hear that song when you're overcoming the odds to something, you know? Like, Can't Hold Me Down kind of thing. The song with his daughter, Famous, she sings pretty effectively, you know?
And sounds really good.
I like the I'ma Be on the TV Mama, a little Kanye shout out on this song. Wheezy AF is like an atmosphere, you know? And you say you're not sure if this is a party record, but I think it is. Like, it can be both. Like, you know, this new, I think a new generation of college kids, like, in those smoky rooms and those dark parties, you know, can really latch onto it. Wayne is just this, we're resurrecting a monolith here. We're resurrecting this media obelisk. And I think these songs like Uproar and all of them are just going to kind of burn in the background at every party. I mean, that's at least what my experience was with the Carter Four in college. So I just think people are going to put this on at the parties and let it play all the way through, you know, because it kind of works like that. You got a song like, I really love Used To. That song is just so aggressive. He's just going in on that track, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like Open Safe, classic DJ Mustard song. And I even like you. I like the Nicki feature, Dark Side of the Moon.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then the record closes with Let It All Work Out, which is just fucking beautiful. What a beautiful way to end an album. I hate 20-song albums, just like you. I'm so sick of it, but I didn't mind it on this record. I don't, you know what I mean? Normally it's too much, but I don't know why, but I keep coming back to this record. And I think I'll be coming back to this album for a very long time. It's a spinner. Like, you know me, Tyler. I'm that guy that's like, new music, right? I'm always trying to listen to New Music Friday every week.
All the way
through.
I find
something and I move on. You know, I'm just always going forward. I couldn't do that because I kept wanting to play the Carter Five.
Right.
Every time I got my car on the way home from work, I want to play the Carter Five. So I think, like, so far of these ridiculously long albums, he's been one of the most successful at delivering a certain level of consistency. So all that taken into consideration, 8 out of 10.
Wow, he brought it over.
I think, you know, it's not as revolutionary as the Carter Three.
Okay,
but,
all right.
You know, I think it's easily on par with probably better than the Carter Four. You know what
so
I mean?
So this is the second best Wayne album.
I mean, careful saying that, because there's a whole the old Wayne fans might, you know, see you live for that. But of the modern Wayne, you know, of post 2006 Wayne, I think,
we getting into the new era, the second era Wayne.
This is the second best album of the second era of Wayne, I think it's safe to say that. So the sale projections came in, and I think it kind of finally has come around to 475K first week.
Gotcha.
That's huge.
That puts
him
at third on the year, right?
That's massive. Yeah, he is
behind Travis and Drake.
Yeah, he's only behind Drake, who did 700, right? Mm-hmm. About 720.
Yep.
And Travis Scott, who did about 530.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And he beat Post Malone, who did what, 450 around that?
Yeah, I think it was 450, 460. I think it was.
There, yeah. So he's back on top. So fucking impressive. And again, like with Eminem, we have one of the biggest rappers in the world coming in as an underdog somehow. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And people want to support, and it's all love, you know? Somehow we keep getting tricked into this narrative that the biggest rappers in the world are underdogs, you know?
100%.
And it's working
for
them. It's just, how cool is it to see him, you know, to just basically cap off almost 500,000 first week. It's so cool to see Wayne do that.
Such a power move, man. This is what happens when you release, when you serve the fan base with good music, man, with invigorating music.
It's a good record.
That's all it takes.
It really was. It was an easy 8 out of 10 for me. I wanted to give it an 8.5 out of 10, but, you know, just because the blow, you know, the blow that's going to be there. But it wasn't such terrible, but it wasn't like Drake. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that Drake album. It was an easier listen.
Yep, it really was. Yep.
He's just having so much fun on the record, and it's just great, man. Like that, the joy you hear at the end and Let It All Work Out.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sample isn't Journey, but it kind of sounds like Journey, Don't Stop Believing. You know what I mean? He's just over it. It's great. He's just like, I'm back in this bitch, you know? You are. Welcome back, man. The king, one of the kings is back, you know? And you know he's going to have such a fun run, you know, because he can interact with all these new school rappers and maybe show him a thing or two.
100%. Good to have you back, Wheezy.
Wheezy AF. Okay. Before we go, did you see Avril Lavigne play Head Above Water on Kimmel?
Ooh, dude, I did not. I missed it. How was it?
Well, first, I just want to say the Avril episode of Note to Scene, we promised. Some things have changed in the Note to Scene world that mean it's coming sooner than later.
Ooh.
So, get hyped. Some things have changed in our lives that enable us to get it out faster than we thought.
Yes.
The queen is back, man. I mean, she did good on Kimmel. You know, she wasn't singing. I mean, it was totally lip-synced, but, you know, she did good. She looked good up there.
Well, that's good.
I'm going to come out and say it. You know, take everything Tyler and I say about Avril with a grain of salt, because we can't be objective here.
We can't be objective.
We've both been in love with her since we were kids. So, you know.
Emo princess, man.
Take that as you will. But it's just funny that Avril's back. I found the reactions to the song were funny to me, how it was kind of a national news item. Like, remember Avril? This is what she sounds like now.
Wow. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And people were like, holy shit, she can sing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe. You know, we don't think in the studio she can. She can't sing live.
No.
I mean, she just... It's been known for a while that she doesn't sing live. The Kimmel performance was totally lip synced, but you know she looks the part. You know she's having her little Kesha praying moment, kind of, with the song. Like, what do you think of the song? You like it?
Oh yeah, dude! Like we talked about it on the show, didn't we? We've been a bit intermittent, so maybe we didn't.
I think we talked about it on the phone.
Okay. Oh, okay. It all blends. The piano ballad is the wrong move, but this song really grew on me, and I think the hook is solid. Like it's the Spotify core version of a piano ballad, and I can appreciate that.
It's Diet Adele, or like you know, like Kesha's little prank moment.
Diet Adele, even.
That's diet caffeine free it though.
Diet caffeine free.
The full, you know what I mean? Full stop. But it's, you know, and I don't want to get you excited, but what I think has to happen is next I want that fun what the hell type banger. Mm-hmm. That's what, just do it. Just come back with the colors. You know, you had your little somber piano ballad. You just fire that, put it, chamber it up and fire that round. Oh, wow. Time for the fun one. Let's do it. You know, don't
let's
you
do it.
That?
Let's do it. I think so, man. I don't know if she wants to.
What the hell?
I mean, they sent this fucking song to like CCM radio. So
if what the hell worked in 20, when was that? 2011,
dude,
you
that
know?
Was like 2010, 2011.
She could make something. It was like, probably like 2009.
Almost like a decade ago, man.
Oh,
if it worked then, well,
I'm trying to make a time argument here. I just totally make no sense. So just ignore me, but I would like to see that.
For
you know,
sure.
Let's have a fun banger next.
Same.
We don't got to go as far as Hello Kitty, you know? But
no. Bring it back. Bring it back.
You want Hello Kitty?
No. Bring it back. Bring it back. We gotta go.
Reel it in from Hello Kitty, but let's still have fun.
Yep, absolutely.
That Hello Kitty pre-chorus though was fire.
Yo.
I mean, a little underrated.
No joke. But we can't talk about that song.
All right. Well, that is it for the show this week, everyone. Special thanks to our producer Davis Young. We thank all of you for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to send them in to notescene@gmail.com. And we will happily answer them on the show. If you enjoy the podcast, please rate us on Apple Podcasts. Take the time, give us 5 stars, maybe write us a nice little review, and we will love you. Thanks, guys. See you next week.